Pastor Jeff Arnold suggested that since I was preaching today, that I give a little bit of an update on our disaster recovery and relief work that's going on here through Mandarin Presbyterian Church. So I thought that was a great idea that Jeff came up with, and want to share with you where we are in this process and give you some pictures of what we're doing or what we are experiencing with other churches. Let me begin by saying that this is not the work of Mandarin Presbyterian Church. This is God's unfolding story for His kingdom. And we just happened, like the little town of Bethlehem, to be chosen as the church by God for this storm in this denomination to say, there's a way we can do this that God would bless, where we find churches who are interested in helping people in their community. And we can do this with no overhead, because our wonderful church already has a structure. It has a 501c3 in place. It has a great team of people who are willing to do a little extra work, taking care of the financial side of things. So the idea for this kind of ministry really for me began when I pastored a church outside New Orleans in Katrina. And God chose that church to be the one that did the exact same thing we're doing now. No overhead relief ministry. And what it requires of a church is to find other churches who are engaged in their community in rebuilding and relieving various groups. I want to first begin by thanking and letting you know the names of the churches that span from California to South Carolina that somehow found out about what we were doing and have financially supported what is going on here. The Good Shepherd Presbyterian Church in Los Alamitos, California. The church all the way on the other coast, Christ Church, a small eco church in Barnwell, South Carolina. And in between, in Boulder, Colorado, the Grace Common Church, who holds an amazing community-wide community Christmas concert, and this year dedicated every penny of proceeds to the work of Mandarin Presbyterian Church in relieving and helping people in South Florida. And then there's Eastminster Presbyterian Church in Marietta, Georgia, who had a substantial gift and they didn't know what to do with it. And somehow they found us and said, we'd like to send a check. And I was in conversation with their missions director, and I'm thinking, oh, they're going to send a couple $100. $7,300 later, they contributed to the work of relief with zero overhead. We've been down there. We've been down to South Florida, Southwest Florida. We've partnered with the Grace United Methodist Church. We've delivered them already supplies, and we're also going to be going back down there later with a special thing you'll see near the end of this. We then had a partnership that formed, kind of interesting. Andrew told a great story with Jesse, and I'm not trying to up it by one, but it's truly the work of the Lord. In the 70s, two guys sat next to each other in the Superdome, one, me, sitting with his parents, the other, a guy my age, who was sitting with his aunt, who had the other seven seats on the row. We knew each other, but we didn't have the same crowds. We'd watch football together, lost track of each other as we got older. And then I showed up at a presbytery meeting in South Louisiana, and there was Whitney Alexander, also a Presbyterian minister. And he now is the guy within the EPC denomination, that's the Evangelical Presbyterian Church, who on a volunteer basis leads their national disaster relief effort. He taught me everything, really, I know about disaster relief when I was in Louisiana. And after Ian, I contacted him, and he would keep me posted when he went down to South Florida. And one day he said, hey, I thought that this Pine Island was the only thing on Pine Island. I'm driving and driving and driving, and I found this Baptist church with this guy named Larry Jinks. He's also from Louisiana, and you're not going to believe the pictures I'm going to send you. So he sent me these pictures. Notice where the steeple is at the First Baptist Church of St. James City, Florida. The steeple's on the floor. This church took on over 5 feet of water throughout their facility. But what did Larry Jinks do? Larry Jinks became the epicenter of care for this fishing community where FEMA and other initial relief efforts began. And I kept, those are pews. Those are what, that's what happens in a sanctuary that takes on 5 feet of water. Pews get pushed all over, mud all over the floor. It's a mess. Let me tell you, it's a mess. But Larry Jinks, I called Larry Jinks 3-4 times, always with that good Baptist greeting, brother. Brother Greg, I'm fine, we're fine. And then the phone rang 2 weeks ago, and it was Larry Jinks to say, Brother Greg, I know you said you would try to help us from Mandarin Presbyterian. I love the way the guy says Mandarin. It's like Mandarin Presbyterian Church. He says, is there any way you could possibly help us with the sheetrock we need? Because we took 5 feet of water throughout the building and we are now ready to rebuild. Sure, Larry, when do you need it? Why was I able to say that? Because of the generosity of people like you and these churches around the United States. Hallelujah, praise God for that. Larry Jenks got the sheetrock, and then before he hung up, he goes, oh, by the way, aren't you in Jacksonville? Yes. Well, I have a parishioner that will be at Mayo for cancer surgery. Could you meet me for lunch? So Iris and I went over by Mayo off of Hodges and had a beautiful meal with he and his wife. That's not our work. That's God's story unfolding before our eyes. It's not about Presbyterians, Baptists, Methodists. It's about God's kingdom in a bigger picture. Tomorrow, the sheetrock goes back on the walls of the First Baptist Church of St. James City, Florida. And the result of that is God choosing this place to be the place that he said, you will lead the effort to make sure that there is a no-cost ministry helping churches do my kingdom's work. That's a God thing. Final part of all this, a trailer. How crazy can that be? A trailer being built by the Mandarin Presbyterian Church that we're going to give to Grace United Methodist Church, the first partner I mentioned. We have guys like Pat Sullivan and Tom Hughes, Jerry Althaus, who've been committed to working on this from the very beginning. Tom Hughes drew the plans up. He's a genius in a matter of hours. We've got plans, and they picked up the trailer. And now people, there's Mark Anderson putting together a shower unit. We're building a shower and washer dryer unit. And here's the deal. We can build it with volunteers about a third of the cost of it would cost to go to the open market and buy it. All this work is being done by the grace of God through you, churches, and even a foundation here in town who came out of nowhere with a gift because a member of our church went to them and said, our church is doing this work, they're doing disaster assistance, and there's no overhead involved. So how can you help? Number one, pray. Pray for victims of that hurricane, some who will not recover for a year to two. Pray for churches that are trying to put themselves back together. Pray for the ministries that God's putting on our hearts as a people to launch. And pray for those less fortunate than us. Ask God if he might put on your heart to help. Do you want to help build a trailer? Pat Sullivan and Jerry will be in the narthex, out in the lobby of the church after worship. They'll be happy to tell you how to do this. It's very tight space, very small crews, because the trailer is only 8 feet wide. It's not like building a Habitat house where we're looking for 10 or 20 people to go out at a time. And if we had 20 people working on the trailer at once, 16 of you would be standing around wondering, why in the world did I take today off, to be brutally honest with you. You can also support if you like. You can support financially. I can honestly say to you this morning, and I didn't know if we'd be able to say this, that after, as of Christmas, as of the Christmas offerings and the gifts many of you have given, guess what? The trailer that will cost anywhere from $27,000 to $33,000 to build, the trailer is paid for. Now we can think about more relief work and finding churches that need supplies. The trailer is paid for. The sheetrock, that was already paid for. The first load of stuff to Grace was already paid for. And when the trailer's done, we'll be delivering it to Grace United Methodist. They will use it on their property for volunteers who are coming to work there in the community they are working in. They're working in a 100 modular home. I sometimes call them trailer, but out of respect, modular home, impoverished, the poverty of poverty people of Cape Coral, Florida, where this church has been in ministry with them for 3 years, and Ian hit, it trailers flooded. I've been in them, and I can tell you they're a mess. These are poor people who had nowhere to go, and they have nowhere to go while their trailers are being rebuilt. They're living in the trailer as the trailer is being pulled out and rebuilt, and this church is in doing that ministry. But when all that relief is done, and it will take at least a year and a half, that trailer will then go to Grace's campus in Fort Myers, where it will be used for homeless ministry. So we are giving this trailer to the Grace United Methodist Church, and they've already said, look, if another storm hits and you think there's another place that needs it, just let us know, and we'll get it to them. This is not our work. This is the work of the kingdom of God. So friends, what else can you do? If you can spare a Sunday through a Thursday, a Friday, go down with us. One crew's trying to go on the 15th of January, the other one on the 22nd, to go down and help Grace rebuild a trailer home for a needy person. If you can't go the whole week, let us know. I'll figure out a way to get you back after a few days. I promise you. If I have to drive down there and pick you up myself, I'll do it. I want people from our church to experience this kingdom of God in this way. It's a wonderful way to get to know people and see glimpses of this kingdom like you'd never see otherwise. So we can pray, we can consider giving, and we can give of our time. Our goal is on the 22nd of January. You will walk out of this sanctuary at the early service. You will walk in for the late, and guess what will greet you in the parking lot? The built-out trailer that will leave that afternoon for Cape Coral, Florida. And you will have a chance to walk through it. No punch list accepted. Keep the punch list to yourself, please. Volunteer labor. A lot of those supplies have been made possible, too, by a group of Christians that own the Thompson Hardware store, Ace Hardware, up here on St. Augustine, Old St. Augustine in San Jose. They give us very heavy discounts. So as good stewards, we're not even paying for most of the supplies we've sent or for the work we're doing. We're not even paying what a typical contractor would pay, thanks to the Thompsons. So we want to give them a great deal of appreciation, too. I hope that's the update. That's enough for now. If you have questions, just find me. You want to volunteer for something, find me. But I wanted you to know the story of God's love. And God tells the story in Corinthians of a little church in Macedonia that gave to the support of famine relief in Jerusalem. Well, guess what? For Ian, Jacksonville, for eco churches around the country, praise God for the brothers and sisters of the Mandarin Presbyterian Church, because you are being the hands and feet of Jesus to those most deeply in need. I guess I could almost quit, but I haven't even read the scripture, so bear with me. Let's pray. God, you give us your word, and we trust your word, and we ask that, Lord, you would speak to us through your word. In the hearing of your word this day, would you guide us and lead us, O Lord, into a deeper understanding of what it means to marvel, treasure, ponder, and be persistent in our faith by trusting in you and the work of the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our reading today comes from Luke verses 17 through 38, the completion of the infant story of Jesus for Luke. It's on page 567 of your pew Bibles. By the way, if you don't have a Bible, feel free to take them. We'll gladly replace those. Pastor Andrew always points that out. Grateful to Pastor Andrew for the opportunity to fill in and to give his family and the Arnolds a rest on a Sabbath time of year. Hear now God's word from Luke. And when they saw it, meaning they saw the angels in the birth, the shepherds made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in their heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, and as had been told to them. And at the end of 8 days, when Jesus was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom in the law, he took him up into his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation of the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. His father and mother, Joseph and Mary, marveled at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. A sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was acknowledged in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak to him, to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There's various ways that different cultures and people bring in the new year. I wish last night my neighbors had not brought the new year in the way they elected to, but it went on for hours like it always does. They were having fun. No houses, to my knowledge, on fire. I didn't hear any fire departments, thank God. But there's other ways that cultures do different things. In a few weeks, certain cultures will celebrate the year of the rabbit. Other cultures like us bring it in with a big bang and life goes on. Christmas, in many ways in our culture, has already been forgotten. It's only at least 70% off on the blue gaudy racks at Walmart, and it was already at 50 probably the day after. It's discounted and forgotten. I went into a Walmart grocery store with my wife Iris a few days after Christmas, and all the Christmas stuff was on sale, and it was time to start thinking about Valentine's Day. What a culture we live in. There's also the issue of the famous pre-Christmas perfect gifts. Walk anywhere, anytime, online now, in what's left of malls, and you'll always hear that there was this perfect gift for Christmas. Only to know that according to Forbes magazine, already thus far, $171 billion of Christmas gifts have been returned. Isn't that astounding? That's crazy. But I think there's another way to view this Christmas. What if we were to take the Christmas and this period in between, and especially this Sunday, and do things like light the whole wreath because we are still celebrating the birth of the Christ? What if we were to investigate for just a while what happens to Jesus immediately after the birth? We can turn to Luke's gospel and we get this beautiful picture of what takes place as the baby becomes 8 days old, and what takes place likely in the first 30 or so days after his birth. We realize that Mary and Joseph were very practicing Jewish people. The son being circumcised on the eighth day dates back to Genesis and even can be found in Genesis 17, 21, and the rite explained in Leviticus 12. Jesus is going to follow the Jewish rites. Then there's a purification and there's also a presentation. In Leviticus 12, we also learn that about 30 days after the birth, a woman was to go back to the temple for the rite of purification. And the child was to be presented, a reminder to those who practice the Jewish faith of the fate of the young Jewish men, boys, who were killed at the initial Passover or were saved from them as Pharaoh killed many others. We can find that in Numbers 18. There's a clear expression of a story here, a story that God wanted us to know as he used Luke to tell that story and to help us link it, the old into the new. But there's some details there I'd like to point out to us today that at least I find intriguing in the way that Luke portrays the journey into Jesus. Did you catch any of the words that are used to describe the different characters at the birth of Jesus and how they respond? Did you realize that many are wondered, they're awed by what is experienced? Did you recognize that the word treasure is used more than one time to describe those who truly are seeking something more than just a wonder? And then did you catch the way that Mary was described, one who is called to ponder these things deep in her heart? And though words are not described, did you catch the two old cronies at the end of the story, probably thought by some to be crazy? A guy hanging out at the temple every day for years, waiting for the supposed Messiah, who actually is the one who recognizes this baby being presented by poor parents, because the story tells us they offered simply pigeons, the offering out of Leviticus for the poor who couldn't even afford a lamb. And so in this passage, we have an opportunity, I believe, especially as the new year begins, to not get caught up in the earthly resolution. I happen to be just curiously on David Crowder, a musician's page this morning, and he posted a few days ago a cartoon about the new year. He's an amazing Christian musician for years, and he sends these kind of subtle messages. He posted a cartoon that had two dogs standing next to each other, and the big dog says to the small dog, "What is a New Year's resolution?" And the little dog says, "Something you try to keep for at least an hour." It's the truth of the whole idea of a New Year's resolution, a new start. I want to focus in our next few minutes on exploring with you, not in judgment, but in hope, of asking ourselves in the new year, what could the new year look like if we responded to the birth of Jesus with the words that Luke uses to describe it? Can we become a wondering, a treasuring, a pondering, a persistent people like Simeon and Anna? Can we become a people who seek throughout the year to marvel at the presence of Christ in so many different ways, and not just to be awed, but to see the treasure of it, to reach the stage of a faith journey where we ponder things in our heart because we know that that's what Mary did when Jesus was born and through his earthly journey? Could we ever reach the level of persistent faith that we find in people such as Simeon and Anna? Luke unpacks this for us in some ways. Wondering about what Jesus does becomes a common attribute for Luke all through his gospel. It begins here and it takes place all through. Mostly it happens to those who you wouldn't expect to be much more than people who say, "Oh, that was a great miracle, let me move on." But his intention is that wondering would be something much deeper. Let me take a moment to also let you in on the secret of Luke's gospel, at least one of them, I believe, both in these early chapters and sometimes at other places. Luke reminds us that those who seem to react best to Jesus are those who have been acknowledged to be filled by the Holy Spirit. They didn't make it on their own. They didn't make it with their own brains or their own logical attempts. It was the Spirit of God who filled in the gaps beyond any human effort to understand. Who do you think is the smartest person in the world? Now, if you're sitting next to one of your parents and you utter your names, you score the brownie points. But in reality, who do you think is the smartest person that ever walked this planet? I mean, there's lots of names we could probably shout out. I mean, I made up a list of my own, and I realized that I was pretty much dating myself. Because, I mean, the only maybe one I could catch was one modern one. I could maybe give some credit to, some scientists in the modern age. I began to write this down and started thinking about people like Galileo and thinking about Madame Curie and started thinking about people from an old. I didn't think about Steve Jobs. I didn't think about modern people, men and women with big brains. But there's one conclusion we can draw regardless of your answer. Their earthly knowledge will never allow them, without the help of the Holy Spirit, to fully know and understand the intention of the journey with Jesus. Their earthly knowledge will never, ever alone allow them to understand the fullness of this Jesus unless they realize the need for the Holy Spirit, to borrow the words of Jesus, to be their teacher, as he says in John's gospel. You see, the Holy Spirit plays the role. So to begin this journey of wonder with treasure and pondering and persistence, maybe it means our year begins with a simple prayer. Don't go looking for the Holy Spirit. Be the good scout. Say to the Holy Spirit, find me where I am. This is what God seeks. Not the adventurer who's out there passionately trying to find it with logic and usual human means. We could pray together right now, find each one of us Holy Spirit, and I have no doubt that God would begin to move in your life, maybe as God has never moved before. If your heart is sincere and you're seeking a faith journey, turn to God right where you are. Now, the chances are we're not all in the same place. Some enjoy deep faith with our Lord and Savior through Scripture, through groups, through other means. And others logically here, who are still loved here and welcomed here as we all are still on the journey, not sure quite yet about who this Jesus really is. And the prayer for all of us remains the same. Find me, Holy Spirit, where I am today in this journey. When, according to Luke, people are filled with the Holy Spirit, the wonder and doubts of faith turn into the wonder and awe of God. The wonder and doubts of faith turn into the wonder and awe of God. It leads frequently to a thanks for the treasure that God has given them, the glimpses of his kingdom that we are able through the Holy Spirit to capture. I'm wrestling with whether or not to out her or not, because if I say her name, she's going to get mad at me. But I'm going to do it anyway. Christmas Eve, we're sitting in a pew, and Andrew tells the story. In case you haven't, go look at it. Andrew met Jesse Alexander, another pastor, years ago when Andrew was a little boy and Jesse was a college student, when the Stepp family's vehicle turned over on the turnpike near Leesburg. And he told a beautiful story on Christmas Eve. And as Jesse came up to help with communion, Pam M., you can figure out the last name, was seated right behind me, and she whispers these words to people in her pew, "That's Jesse, that's the guy he told the story of." And then she says these amazing words that indicate that Pam M. is a woman on a journey of treasuring and pondering these moments. She utters in a whisper, not that I'm being nosy, not that I listen to everything said behind me in pews, but Pam M. says, that and this is a God thing. Sorry, sister, I had to out you. I could tell worse, but it's a good one to tell about you, right? It's a God thing. And so as I'm putting the final touches on this message, I'm thinking, you know what that was? That's an example of a person who truly doesn't just find the awe of God, but is treasuring and pondering these pictures into the kingdom that God gives us. Are you looking for those pictures every day in your life? Are you open, even in moments of despair, that God could send messengers your way that you've never met before? Could God send you a special message, a special event, and it takes a while for you to realize that God orchestrated the whole thing? Even the example I gave you, did I think as a 20-year-old drinking a beer with the guy sitting next to me in a football stadium, 18 is legal in Louisiana back then, that these two guys would end up being pastors who would do relief work together? Pondering moments of faith as God unveils in the good and the bad the Holy Spirit's presence in our midst. Are you willing to explore taking your faith from the wow moment of a miracle that maybe you remember into the presence of God where you treasure those and you realize that God is blessing you every moment of every day with opportunities to see his kingdom unfold in your life, in your world, in your presence? And then there's the two old people, Simeon and Anna. Could you imagine some old person standing out here faithfully every day and telling you Jesus is coming again and I'm not dying till he comes again? What would be your reaction to that? Okay, whatever. But that's who Simeon is. He is the epitome of persistence in faith. Now, you may say life trials have put you in a place where your persistence of faith is being tested or has been tested. It could be illness. It could be financial. It could be relationship breaking up, divorce, death in your family. We could go on and on. It could be estrangement from relatives, whatever it may be. But I'm here to suggest to you that the Holy Spirit, despite whatever happens in life, really wants to journey with you. I walked through the valley of death with a young man who lost his wife and left behind two kids. When we prayed together for the first time, I admit, I used a word that starts with a C that I won't repeat here, to explain in words with him as we prayed, to say to God, Lord, this is a blanky day. Starting with C, you can figure it out. And then members of that church began to find out that I prayed with this guy, and I used that word that started with a C and ended with a Y. The young widower at that moment said, you know what? Thank you for the prayer. I never knew that I could say to God, today is that bad. And we ended up on a journey through the Psalms of Lament together. However, I can laugh at it now, it wasn't so funny then. For some who believe that you're not supposed to ever have those conversations with God, when the word got out that I'd had this conversation, you would have thought I'd done something way, way worse than use the C word in a prayer. No offense to them. They're trapped in a view of God where everything's supposed to be perfect all the time, including your relationship with him. And the reality of Scripture is, that's just not who God is, nor who God wants us to be. All you have to do is go to the Psalms of Lament. You can look any of them up. Go on your device. I like number 13, one of the Psalms where David is crying out to God in anger and being mad. But yet at the end of the prayer, what does David pray? Basically, David says, but I know you are God, and I know that you are with me. The signs of a persistent faith. That when the road is tough, being able to acknowledge, I don't really like this. It's not real good right now. But I know you're God. And I know you're going to be there like you promised you would be through all of life. That, friends, is the example of a persistent faith. So as the new year begins, in no judgment, where do you find yourself? Are you in a stage of your faith where you love to hear of the miracles and in a few days that wears off and you think you need another dose? Are you at a stage of your faith where every day you seek in life to find the treasure of the Holy Spirit revealing itself to you and the world you function in and calling you to be a true follower of Jesus? Have you reached the stage of pondering where you think deeply about what things go on in life and how God is present even in the midst of chaos? Or are you fortunate to have found the point in your journey where your faith could be described as a persistent faith that trusts God in thick and thin, shares that message with others, and even though you know God will answer and it may not be what you wanted, you are like the psalmist. And you know that God is there and God is with you through every step of life's journey. We're not here to judge. We're not here to do anything but suggest that in 2023, what would happen as a body of Christ or as individuals within it, we would be people willing to explore the wonder and treasure, the pondering with true persistence, with the trust in the Holy Spirit, that God will be with us every step of the day in every journey. I think this is laid out in Scripture for us on purpose. I believe most words of Scripture are very, very intentional by God. And I believe God tells us the rest of Jesus' infant story to remind us it's more than a day, but to also ask us to go on the journey of the characters in his gospel, who wonder at times in awe, who grow into the understanding of what it means to treasure God's presence, who begin to ponder alone and with others the depth of God's love for them, and who ultimately reach that point, even if it's only for a day, where they can say, today, I live the day in persistent faith in Jesus Christ, regardless of how good or bad or see why it may be. To God be the praise and the glory and the honor this day and forevermore. Amen. We give you thanks, O God, for this day. And we give you thanks for your word, for the story of the birth of Jesus and all that it's called to mean to us. Guide us this day into a new year. Help us, Holy Spirit, to come alongside us. Find us where we are, to lead us with awe and wonder into the treasure and the pondering of a true relationship with you, Jesus Christ, in which you find us to be persistent, like Simeon and Anna, striving to live as you would have us to live. In Christ's name, amen.